reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. In those days, when there again was a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus summoned the disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" Still he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, "Seven." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then, taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over them and ordered them distributed also. The whole crowd ate and was satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. He dismissed the crowd and got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. The Gospel of the Lord. Why'd God kick Adam and Eve out of the garden? The reason given in the book of Genesis is so that they wouldn't eat the fruit of the tree of life, and therefore live forever. And to us, at first glance, that doesn't seem to make a heck of a lot of sense. God does want us to live forever. Was that supposed to be an eternal punishment that was then abrogated? What's going on? Professor Leon Kass, a Jew from the University of Chicago, who was the chairman of President Bush's inaugural bioethics commission, he once penned a very insightful essay about the curse of living forever if we would live forever here, if we would live forever in a world subject to sin, in a world in which, as we are really senior citizens at about 941 years old, how we would be able so easily to be taken advantage of by those sinning who would be 18 or 21, that would have to be dealing with various types of suffering, everything else. That there's a difference between life eternal when we're living with God and life eternal when we're living in a situation in which we can't be separated from God. That is the reason why God booted Adam and Eve from the garden, so they wouldn't eat that tree from that tree of life while they were still divorced from that sap flowing from the life of God. It was only after Jesus, the new tree of life, came to restore to us the possibility of eternal life that he would then say, "Eat me, eat my body, drink my blood, become one with me, and if you do, then you will be fit to live eternal life." Not here, but as we're going to hear tomorrow in the reading, in that place that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor even has the mind of man been able to fathom. End of parentheses. In the punishment given to Adam today, the Lord says, "Cursed be the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat its yield all the days of your life." In other words, you're going to have to sweat and work like crazy in order even to have food as a hunter or as a grower. And yet, as a sign of this new life that Christ had come to inaugurate in the gospel, we have them just sit down on the field as Jesus himself worked a miracle to feed them all. This is a sign of what Christ does for us in the redemption. That yes, we still have to work. The food that he gives us, like in this gospel, are the 7 loaves and the few fish that the apostles had. But Jesus himself does that much more work. In the same way that when we come to Mass, we don't start, as I've mentioned often, with grain and grapes. We start with bread and wine, which is the gift of God as well as the work of human hands. Today we mark the, or celebrate the votive Mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. As we talked about yesterday, she is the response to the curse given. That just as the fall began with Adam and Eve's no in distrust of God's promises, so Mary's yes inaugurated that time of the redemption. And she and her son stomped on that serpent's head. There was enmity, true separation, true hatred between grace and the demonic. And therefore, she gives us hope. She is the one who teaches us how to depend not on ourselves, but how to depend on every word that comes from God's mouth, especially the word made flesh. She teaches us the secret to living the ethos of the redemption, as well as to come into that eternal life, a life that will be happy, not forever dreadful. That possibility, of course, of a dreadful eternity still exists. The option in front of us is not between eternal bliss and annihilation. The alternative in front of us is between eternal bliss and eternal separation from God. That's why each of our choice in life is so momentous. Not just the general direction that we're trying to walk in, but each decision we make. Today, as we come forward, we beg Mary, our mother, to pray for us, that we might have a pure heart that desires the right things, that we might have heart, courage, so that we might persevere in choosing those right things, so that our heart will be satiated by God's love forever. For as St. Augustine tells us, our hearts will be restless until they rest eternally in God.